Luke chapter 8 tonight, and tonight will be a devotional, but it's fitting, as I've prepared on just three verses, but yet it is a wonderful reality of how this passage coincides with what we looked at this morning. I actually didn't really see the connection until tonight as I was looking over things for tonight. And I'm just blessed to see the Word of God and how it connects its unity. So in Luke chapter 8, we begin in verse 1. Look at it. And it came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Now, Luke is writing with the purpose of making much of Jesus and his teachings, what he says and what he's doing. What has just happened in Luke chapter 7? Luke tells us about how Jesus ministered to a woman who in the city was known as a sinner. We are not told specifically why she has that label or that reputation, but nevertheless, that's how she was known. And it was in a Pharisee's house, and you remember if you were with us last time, and the Pharisee was wondering, Jesus, why are you allowing this woman to touch you? She's a sinner. And remember what Jesus did, how he ministered and spoke into her life. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. For those words to come from the Lord Jesus and to enter into the ears of a woman who had lived in sin probably most of her life, had no future to speak of, was probably very much alone. And to hear the words, go in peace, your faith has saved you. Amazing, wonderful miracle. Well, Luke makes it clear that it came to pass afterward, after that happened, that Jesus is going around preaching and showing what? The glad tidings, the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God. Look back at Luke chapter 4. What was it that Jesus said in Nazareth that day as he read from the scroll of Isaiah? In Luke 4 verse 18, we read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news, to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." We talked about that this morning in relation to Isaiah chapter 61. Let's refresh ourselves. Let's go there. Isaiah 61. I really believe that as Luke is writing this, he wants to draw the link here. Look at Luke 61 again. Verse 1, Isaiah 61, verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound." This sounds a lot like Jesus. And this was Jesus. And Jesus claims to be this one. And so Jesus ministered to the woman who was bound in sin and darkness and grants her freedom. Go in peace. And so we see back in Luke chapter 8 that Jesus is preaching and showing this glad tidings of what? The kingdom of God. You know what the end of Isaiah talks about? The kingdom of God. And that's an amazing kingdom. And we're going to be looking at this characteristics of the kingdom in weeks to come. The kingdom of God. I mean, this was something that as the prophets described it was a fascinating truth and something that people longed for. Hence, why were they looking for the Messiah? Because they longed for the kingdom of God. And so Jesus here proclaiming the kingdom of God, and yet people were missing it because Jesus didn't appear like the Messiah they thought he should be. And so, with this as the background, we read verse 2 in Luke 8, verse 2, "And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance." Just two verses, but I believe they say much about our Lord and about his love and care for women. I believe it says much about Luke in his writings. Now, the other Gospels talk about these women, but they relate these women strictly in the context of his resurrection, of the cross and of his resurrection. Luke draws our attention to the fact that these women were followers of Jesus throughout his ministry and ministered to him out of their substance. These women had walked with God, had spent time with him. Let's look at the details of these verses. Certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Well, what's in common about these women? Well, they all had been healed by Jesus of something, whether it's demon possession or some sort of sickness. Each one of these women had experienced some sort of healing. Well, what does this tell us? Well, this tells us that Jesus paid attention to all the people, not just men. Women were important in his sight as well. And as you look through the Gospels, you see how Jesus took time to heal that woman that was bent over for many years. He took time to minister to that widow whose son had died, and he rose him. He called him up from the dead. He took time to minister to this woman who was a sinner and declared her sins forgiven and said, "Go in peace." The society in those days was very patriarchal. So in other words, the men were the rulers, the heads of society and of their homes. It is interesting to note as Luke is writing that he does speak of women. He speaks of Elizabeth. He speaks of Mary, Jesus' mother. He speaks of Anna in the temple. He speaks of how Jesus healed Simon's mother-in-law in chapter 4. Now, some would draw your attention to the fact that when Jesus chose disciples, he chose 12 men. Yes, he did do that, didn't he? And there is a lot to say about the roles of genders in the scriptures. And in fact, we would be naive if we did not acknowledge the tension that has existed ever since the fall of man between the genders of man and woman. I bet if I asked you to raise your hands, I believe probably most of you at least those of you of adult age would realize and raise your hand and admit that there is a tension that you've recognized between men and women, whether it be in your own personal life, in personal relationships, or you've seen it around you. And absolutely there's that tension. And of course, the fall of men from Genesis chapter 3 on. And we see glimpses of that throughout the narratives. As you see husbands not loving their wives, wives disrespecting their husbands, and so on and so forth down through the ages. The Lord Jesus here was assisted and ministered unto by these women who were healed. They were also, all three, and others were ministers unto him of their substance. So these were women, at least Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna, were women of means. In other words, they had the ability to provide for others beyond themselves. We know that Joanna, at least, was the wife, we know she's married, and we know that she was the wife of one of Herod's stewards, one of Herod's servants. Now, who was Herod? He was the tetrarch, or governor, if you will, of Galilee. So Joanna had a place of some prominence as the wife of Chuza in Herod's palace. I can't imagine what the tension was like in that home. Being in Herod's palace, being the steward, and Joanna comes to know Christ, and believe in him and follow and minister unto his needs and the needs of his followers. It's also, we can note that in this passage, these three women that are named are not the only women that ministered to Jesus Christ. There were others. You can look at it. It says, and certain women then are named Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna. And then in verse 3, it says, and many others. And so let us not overlook the point that as Jesus walked on this earth and ministered, it was not just a band of brothers, but there were women as well who ministered. That word minister means to serve, diakonos, similar to deacon. They served. They helped. Have you ever wondered how in the world Jesus and his disciples ever survived? Three and a half years of itinerant ministry throughout Palestine, traveling around. We know Jesus said, I don't have a place to lay my head. Did you ever think about that? How did they ever survive? And I believe some of the answer is found here in that there were followers of him who were women who ministered and helped. How were they clothed? What did they eat? I know I'm assuming that Jesus didn't know how to cook or the disciples, but I'm sure they did. But I believe Luke wants us to realize here something. These women played an important role. Now, Mary Magdalene is certainly the one that is most well known. She appears the most out of all of these women. Mary Magdalene. Magdala was a town or city along the Sea of Galilee. And it is told of her, that she had seven demons. As I was studying this, I got to thinking, what was it like to be possessed by a demon? Just one, let alone seven. Here's some of the things that I found as I did some looking throughout the Gospels. A demon can cause a person to not be able to speak, to be dumb. A demon can cause a person to convulse with seizures and suffer, to fall into fire or water, to foam at the mouth. A demon can cause a person to communicate audibly for that demon. In other words, a person's voice is used by the demon to communicate. A demon can cause a person to be thrown to the ground. A demon can cause a person to be insane, to just run around naked, dwell in tombs rather than a home, even able to break chains. Mary, we have no idea that to the degree that she suffered under the possession of demons, but we can only assume it was a horrible existence. This was not some easy little thing. And so to be delivered must have been truly amazing in her life. There is no detail of how Jesus did it. No detail when Jesus did it. The text tells us here that Mary Magdalene traveled with him, but that the demons had been cast out in the past. It was already a done deal. Does that mean it was something not so great? No. It just means that God didn't want us to make much of that. But he wants us to know that she was delivered, and out of that, she came to be a follower of Jesus and to minister unto him all the way through the cross, the resurrection, and I believe into the days of the early church. As we think about these women, we're going to do a spoiler and just go back to the end of Luke, and I want you to look at Luke chapter 23. And Luke 23 is the account of at the cross of Jesus. And after he had died, look at verse 47. So Luke 23, verse 47. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. Now go to verse 55. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And then you look at Luke 24 and verse 10. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. It is a fascinating thing how God used women to tell the apostles that Jesus had rose. Mary Magdalene was one of them. Luke also wrote Acts, the book of history of the early church. And I want you to notice in Acts chapter 1 who we see in that upper room that day. Acts chapter 1, verse 13, we see a listing of the 11 disciples. Acts 1:14 says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Jesus Christ died for all men, for all women. He loved them and cared for them equally. He uses them in specific ways. He uses them differently. Surely, absolutely. But I am blessed to know and to read passages like this in Luke chapter 8. And to see how much is made out of these women. I mean, you could look and say, well, they had demons. They had been sick. Of what value are they? Jesus gave them value. And they recognized that. And they did something with that. They served him. You know, that's what happens when God changes your life. when he comes in and he changes your life, your life is now lived for a different reason, for a different purpose. You're now living to bring him glory, to make him well known. And so it was for these women. They now lived so that Jesus and his ministry might go forth, that the good tidings might be preached, the gospel of the kingdom of God might be declared amongst their people, and truly others' lives would be forever changed. It'll be neat to talk with Mary someday in heaven, to hear her account, her story of what it was like to meet Jesus that day, to be freed from the prison of demonic activity in her life, and then to serve Jesus all the way, I believe, to the day she died, the day she met him face to face in heaven. You ready to meet the Lord Jesus? You ready to meet him? Lord, thank you for the joy of sharing together tonight. We do rejoice in the good news of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I thank you for these dear people. What a joy it's been to spend this day with them. Bless them this week in amazing ways. Direct, Lord, their attentions and their affections to you. In Jesus' name, amen.